Love that arrangement this morning. Our young people are going to slip off to their worship service. 1 Samuel chapter 17, if you'll look there with me, please. After we read our text here in a moment, Brother Frank has a special, I know, bless your heart. 1 Samuel chapter 17 is our text. Before we read that this morning, you know, I'm thankful for the Word of God today. We all have the Word of God. Many of us have it today. And, of course, there are parts of the Bible that we have become, we might say, very familiar with. You know, parts of it that we might not remember that the message of Almighty God has been given, given these messages to us for our benefit. You know, the problem with familiarity sometimes is that we're become so familiar with passages in the Bible or certain passages or stories or events in the Bible that we really don't benefit from them sometimes. And so if we're not careful, we'll forget what the truth is, the message that God has chosen for us as well today. So I've chosen a familiar passage from my text this morning. It is one that we've heard, and we've heard it over and over again. And most of us could probably tell this story without ever needing to look at the account in Scripture. Our children have heard it time and time again. And yes, it is the account of David and Goliath. But this is not a fairy tale. It's not like the story, as many of you may have heard when you're a kid, Jack and the Beanstalk. It's not like that. Or some other of these fairy tales. But really, this is an actual account of real people in history. Of a real nation. The real nation of Israel. And in this passage, we'll read how the enemies of God and God's people sought to destroy His people. And as we read this account, I'm sure that we can identify with the armies of King Saul, that they didn't know what to do, and they were scared to death of this giant that stood before them. And let's read about that. So if you would, and able, let's stand together in reverence to the reading of God's Word. 1 Samuel chapter 17 says, "Now the Philistines gathered together," verse 1, "their armies to battle, and they were gathered together at Socoh, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Socoh and Azekah." And I won't name that last name. I'm just won't try to trip over that one, all right? You can educate me afterwards. Verse 2, "And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah." That is, they camped in the valley and set the battle in array, that is, against to encounter the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out, or there came out, a champion. Goliath, they had given him the name Champion. And it fit. Because the name Champion meant the man between two. And so that's what we find in this story. He is the man between the Philistines and Israel. He was a giant. So there came out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines. His name was Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 bits and a span. Now, in figuring that up, that would be right about 9 feet, 9 inches in height. Let's just say 10 feet tall. That's a pretty tall fella, right? I don't think I've ever seen anybody quite that tall. And for somebody like me, that would definitely be a giant. And verse 5 says, "And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass," about 125 pounds. and he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. Brother Jared, you got those pictures? Let's see those pictures. Now look what Brother Jared's going to show us. Let's look first of all at the helmet, Brother Jared, real quickly. That's kind of an idea, all right, that he had. And he was clothed with a coat of mail. That is a scale. It's called a scale armor, something along that. That's kind of what he was clothed with. That's picture that giant. And then the weight of coat was about 5,000 shekels. And then verse 6 says he had greaves of brass upon his legs. All right, something kind of like that. And a target of brass, which was a javelin of sort. Give us a picture of that. All right, something like that. That was between his shoulders. Now, in verse 7 says, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels, that is 15 pounds in iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. So kind of picture, on human terms alone, Goliath was invincible. Would you agree with that? You wouldn't want to go up against this fella. And verse 8, and he stood and he cried unto the armies of Israel. That is, he shouted out to the armies of Israel, God's people, and he said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. And verse 9, if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Verse 11, when Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed. They were concerned, in other words, and greatly afraid. Now, it's only natural that Goliath would be Saul and Israel's worst nightmare come true. Would you agree with that? I've dreamed about fellas like that. And, things that I wouldn't want to stand against. And, you know, we have giants in our life. And they come in different forms of our life. And I'm going to speak to you on the subject today of killing giants. Killing giants. Let's pray together. Father, we commit this time of preaching your word this morning. Thank you for it. Thank you for a familiar passage. For some, they believe it's a story that's just been told. It's not real. But God, thank you that we can know your word is true. And that God, what you tell us right here in this story, Lord, truly happened. We know it did. And God, help us to know that whatever giants that we face in our life, as we all face giants every day, we face the enemy every day. Help us to be able to have the same kind of courage that you gave David, Lord, to stand up in the times that we need to stand for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Brother Frank, you come sing for us if you would. Appreciate that. Enjoyed that special this morning. Killing giants. We all have them in our life, don't we? In the New Testament, we're reminded in the New Testament that we are in a spiritual battle. We are, every day, as believers. This battle continues while most of the people in the world remain ignorant of sometimes what's going on around us. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. 1 Peter 5:8 also says, Peter writes, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You know, the enemy, which we all know is Satan, is the ultimate enemy, and he has his angels. Satan is not able to be everywhere at the same time. Only God can do that. But Satan does have his angels, that he has rallied around him to help fight believers on a daily basis as we strive to do the Lord's work and, of course, ultimately to go after God. We're faced with the giants of life at every angle. not just what Satan opposes us with, but basically what life brings at us from time to time. There are a lot of things that come at us on a daily basis, and for your giant that you face daily may be small to some, but it may be big to you. Often that's the case, isn't it? You know, and like the Israelites in our passage here, often we don't know what to do. The Israelites, they were faced with this enemy, didn't know what to do. Matter of fact, they feared this enemy. I would too. I mean, I can't fault the Israelites. I'm sure that we would all be a little bit intimidated by just his appearance alone, as we showed you the armor and how he was dressed and how he would have looked with all that garb on. Man, that would have been something that would been very much intimidating. So, but I want us to look at another. I want to look at another this passage a little bit closer, and I want to see what David did when he stepped up to face Goliath on that day. And like I say, just because this passage is somewhat familiar to us, I hope that you won't allow yourself to kind of get caught in the familiarity of it and say, well, I don't need to hear that anymore. I've heard that for years or whatever. But there's so much here that we can learn as we apply it in our own personal lives daily. No, we may not come up against something like what David faced here, but there are things in our life that we come up against daily that really sometimes is the devil trying to bring us down, or it may be just those everyday giants that we face that if we allow it can really intimidate us to the point to where we give up on God or we don't trust God and so forth. So how did David face the Goliath? There are several principles that we should take note of here, and I believe that these principles that we'll share with you this morning, they'll help each of us as we do face these giants that we stand and that we will allow them to stand in the way. The first principle, if you're taking notes, write this down. It is that, first of all, we have to keep in mind, if we learn from David's life, David was strengthened by the Spirit of God. David was strengthened by the Spirit of God. Now, please keep in mind here, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David, the Bible says. And by the way, in the previous chapter, we're told that Samuel anointed David to be the future king of Israel. And at that moment in chapter 16 and verse 13, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day forward. Now, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God did not indwell believers as the Spirit of God indwells us today, meaning that He only came upon men like David and Moses and all at certain periods of time and empowered them or enabled them to accomplish a particular task. Now, in the New Testament, as we know, today, the Spirit of God indwells every believer from the moment of salvation. In other words, the day that you invited Christ in your life to be your Savior was the day that God moved in literally by the Spirit of God and took up residence in our life. And praise God for that. We're never left alone. Matter of fact, we have the power of God upon us if we just use it in the right way. God empowers us. And so that's really the major part of this message and how David was able to defeat Goliath. David was just a young whippersnapper. I mean, he wasn't but, a teenager pretty much himself. There was nothing special about David as far as his physique and all like that. He was a shepherd boy. But what made him strong and what gave him the courage was the Spirit of God had came upon him and enabled him to not only have the mental and physical courage, but the spiritual courage to face this giant. But today we have the same ability to face the giants in our life through the power of the Holy Spirit, to basically do the same thing that David did. And by the way, without God's Spirit, man is helpless in his own strength. The Bible says in Zechariah chapter 4 and the latter part of verse 6, God says, it's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts, that we're able to have the strength of God. You see, the power of the Spirit is a must for any work that we try to set out to do for God. You know, as a preacher, for me to get up here and even try to preach the Word of God without the power of God's a blessing and prayed up and seeking God's direction in this, I might as well just close it up and go home. Because you'd be hearing empty words, and your ability to be able to receive it without the power of God be the same thing. It would just be empty words. So we need the power of God to not only preach His word, but also to receive His word in our life. So the power of the Spirit is a must for any work that we accomplish. Whether you're teaching a Sunday school class or where you're up here singing for the Lord, you know, and you want the power of God involved in all of that, because obviously that's who we're doing it for. The reason for most of our spiritual defeats, though, in life is that we face our giants, and sometimes those giants come in the form of marital problems. Sometimes they come in the form of children rebelling in the home, or they come in the form of physical ailments that we face. It come in the form of financial problems that we face. So giants are just come in various forms of life that battle the flesh sometimes. And if we face these giants without the power and the energy that God gives us, then we're going to be defeated every single time. In other words, those marital problems, there'll be no remedy to healing that marriage. Without the power of God upon that marriage, there'd be no remedy to helping that rebellious child that's gone astray. Listen, without the power of God and physically and so forth, how can we get through our physical problems? And so many of you are faced with that. I know. I hear you shared some prayer requests, and you know it's discouraging when you're faced with matters that. Physically, that you are, it's out of your control. That's a giant in your life. Without the power of God enabling you to carry on, you'd give up. You'd be defeated. So we all can relate to that. The biggest problem that we have as a church is that we try to do God's work sometimes in the power of the flesh. You know, we want to see folks saved and the church grow in membership. That's our goal. That's our desire as a church family. But you know what? There's no way that we can see that accomplished in our own strength, our own power, can we? You know, notice what Jesus said. You don't have to turn there, but Jesus says in Acts chapter 1, the Lord says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth." So what Jesus promised here in Acts 1:8, Jesus promised that he would supply the power that's needed to accomplish the task that is set before us. You know, as a church, these doors would be closed if the power of God wasn't upon this place. And it'd be closed real quick. And that's with any church that doesn't have the power of God upon it. You know, the cross doesn't, you know, it's a symbol. The cross, there's no power in that cross on top of this building just because we hang a cross. There's no power in the pews. There's no power in any decorations that we hang in this room. The power comes whenever God's people fill this place, and the power of God is here through the children of God. Once this place is emptied out, there's no power in this room. It's emptied. You know, when you go in your home as a child of God, what brings the power in that home? Well, the power is their family. If a husband and wife are saved, and you know what that's going to do with those kids is you're trying to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They're going to be around that power, the Spirit of God, the power of God that enables you to raise them up in nurture and admonition of the Lord. So we need the power. So our power source as a church is what Jesus is saying in Acts 1:8, comes through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. That's how we can go out here and be witnesses and proclaim the gospel message. You know, the question is, why are we being witnesses then? We think that's the preacher's job or that's the missionary's job. You know, no, that's all of our job. If we have the power source, and we do as believers, boy, we need to be using that, taking advantage of it. Sometimes we don't do that because we're trying to do it in our own power. I don't know about you, but I've been in situations like this where I've tried to witness for the Lord, and sit down with somebody and talk to them about the Lord and realize, I'm doing it in my own power. In other words, I really maybe didn't even pray about for this person, or I'm wanting to get selfish glory or pat on the back or whatever. And I've learned that in ministry, listen, everything that we try to set out to do for God, we better make sure God's in it. Listen, you don't get up here and sing, you don't get up here and preach, you don't teach a Sunday school class, working with little kids, sometimes I know those kids, boy, they can make you pull your hair out sometimes. We've got folks that work with them on Awana every Wednesday night, and our kids are a blessing to our church. I've raised kids, but boy, they've got a lot of energy that we don't have as we get older. But yet, the blessing of knowing that, listen, God has given you the love, the power to enable yourself to work with those kids, because not everybody's called to do that. Not everybody's able to do that. But yet, we need to take advantage of it. If we try to do anything in and of ourselves in the flesh, then we're going to be defeated. When we attempt to serve God in the energy of the flesh, then what's going to happen? Defeat comes real quickly, doesn't it? It slips up on us real quickly. And what happens? We begin to give up. Look around this room, not just in this room, but every church you can go in. There are some people that used to be in church that are not in church anymore. That's in every church. You know somebody like that. You know family members. You know former church members or whatever. They're unchurched. Why is that? They gave up. They were defeated. Now, we don't look down upon them. We need to pray for them. We need to encourage them and to get back in now. But there's some that have found that defeat mainly because they were trying to serve God within the flesh. And you know what? If we do that enough times, then we'll find that the flesh is going to defeat us. And so my point I want to make here, we will never be successful living the consistent Christian life if we're trying to do what we do sometimes in the power of the flesh. For instance, just coming to church. And some of you may have woke up this morning and you had a headache. I've had a headache all week, by the way. I think it's sinuses. I don't know what it is. I don't usually have headaches. Sometimes I wake up on Sunday morning and I'll have a headache. I didn't today. Well, a little bit. But if I didn't show up because I had a headache, that ain't good enough for the preacher now. You say, well, preacher, you're meddling a little bit. I'm not really trying to do that. I'm just saying that we're all guilty. Even the preacher. If we give into the flesh enough times, sometimes those things that really, if we look for an excuse, in other words, we can find it right in life. We have to know who, does God know all things? We have to know that God does know all things. God knows whether we're doing it in the flesh or we're really doing it in the Spirit of God. If you came today because you really wanted to worship the Lord and that's your motivation and that's why you're here today, and that should be the correct way. But if you came because, I have an obligation. I don't want nobody to think I'm just missing church. And, sometimes we do things in the flesh because we want to please somebody else. And there's times I still do that, There's times that preachers have to be careful. They don't preach messages just to be appealing, to tickle the ears. We all have to balance it sometimes. And so the problem is, when we find ourselves doing things in the flesh, then there comes the defeat, and we're just like the others who have slipped out, if not careful. We're going to find ourselves defeated. Because really, our goal, our desire life, we should want to live a consistent Christian life, right? And so, being faithful to the services of the church, listen, we all know as believers, we should be. I'm not trying to get on that bandwagon because we have some folks out today. I had this message planned way before I knew who's going to be out, okay? But I am saying that we all have to work at being faithful. We all have to work at being witnesses for God, right? We all have to work at it. Because the flesh says, well, I'll let somebody else do that. We ought to work at spending time in God's Word. Listen, that's That's something the devil likes to defeat us and get into the Word of God daily. Prayer, and we can name a number of things that if we allow it, these little subtle things help to set up the giants in our life. To set up the giant of defeat that we all faced. David faced a giant. How did he overcome? You see, when we're empowered by God's Spirit, it's important to live in the Christian life. It really isn't that hard to understand. To be filled with God's power simply means that we need to yield ourselves to Him. Simply means that the word yield means to give God the right away. And so that's what we have to practice every day in our life, that God, today, no matter what I'm faced with, no matter what giant, I'm going to give you the right away of my life. I'm not going to come up with all these excuses of why maybe I can't go to church or why I can't witness or why I can't pray or why I can't read my Bible. We just have to motivate ourselves to be live this consistent Christian life by yielding God the right away. John the Baptist told his followers in reference to Christ, John says, He must increase, speaking of God, and I must decrease. Well, that's why we need to live life, right? That God must be increased in my life and I must decrease, because He is the one that should receive all the glory. You know, we'll never be filled with God's power and we'll never desire it unless we're yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God on a daily basis. Second point I want you to notice, David was strengthened by his experience, his experiences. Yes, David was strengthened by his experiences. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 17, down in verse 32. Notice with me what takes place here. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him," that is, on account of him, "thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine." Now notice King Saul, he should be taking the lead here, right? He's the one that leads the children of Israel. But what is he saying? You need to back off of this, David. He says, and Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." In other words, look at this guy. Look at him. Verse 34, "And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and smote him and delivered," that is, rescued him, "out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and I smote him, and slew or killed him." Verse 36, "And thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and the uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God." Verse 37, "So David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee." Now David depended on the Lord being with him, right? That makes a difference when you depend on God. But what prepared David for this giant? Much like what God prepares us for in life. The various giants that we face in life sometimes prepares us maybe for that one big one that's going to come down the road one way. Or a few along the way. Sometimes you ever go through something and you wonder, why did I have to go through that? Why did God allow that to take place in my life? I mean, it was something that you never, we don't want to go back and redo some things that we faced in life. There's some hardships that we face. There's some maybe some marital problems that you face in life, or, you know, financial, whatever. We don't want to go back and redo that and just say, God, just take me through it again so I can just kind of know what it feels like. We don't have to do that. We know what it feels like. If we've learned the lesson, if we've applied it, because, you know, if we live long enough, we're going to face some big giants along the way. There's going to be some setbacks in our life. So David was strengthened by his past experiences, much like we are if we use them in the right way. You see, David was not fearful of the weapons or the size of Goliath. We saw his armor. You know, all that pretty brass, that didn't intimidate David. That didn't impress him as a young shepherd boy. He didn't care about all that. David had proven what the power of God had done in his life. David says, "I can match that. I killed lions. Man, I went up against bears, you know, things of that. Listen, David, too often when we see the giants before us, we forget who God is. We forget that He is an almighty God, don't we? David was strengthened by his past experiences. You know, we've got to remember the victories that we've been through in life. Often, you know what happens? We often focus on the defeats. Or we often focus on those things, those bad things in our life, and boy, we can bring those up real easy. But the victories, if not careful, we let them slip by. But many of us, I dare say in this room, not only have there been some great giants in our life, but I'm sure through some of these giants that you face in your life, there have been some victories, right? There's been some victories that you have faced, and many of us have seen great victories in the past. But today, maybe there's some in this room, as I dare say, maybe somebody on the brink of defeat. We got to remember, like David, we got to consider what God has done in the past and what God does to strengthen us for that giant that we face right now. God reminds us that He's still in control, that God will supply our needs. Because God knows, by the way, God knows all of our needs, right? God knows what you are faced with. Yeah, it may be a financial need. It may be some other physical need or whatever that you're faced with. And thank God we serve an all-knowing God. He knows what you're faced with. And not only can He meet our needs, but He's promised to do so. And by the way, God's not a liar. By the way, we must be willing to let God meet those needs in the way that He knows best. In other words, we like to tell God what's best, don't we? We like to tell God, listen, this is how this need could be met. And there's nothing wrong with praying that God will take care of need in the way that we'd like for Him to do. But God obviously knows best. He knows what we need, just like we know best for our children. We may tell our children what's best for them, but sometimes they have to learn the hard way, right? And we wouldn't dare do anything that we know that's not going to be good for them if we love them. That's the way God works. Because after all, we're God's children, right? We believe that. We know that God loves us. He has our best interest in mind. So David went through these things in his past. And listen, I was sharing with somebody the other day. Matter of fact, it was Kevin, my friend. Before I came to Fountain City, my wife and I, when we got to Fountain City, we were ready to quit ministry. Because we faced two difficult situations starting out in churches. It wasn't easy. And we wasn't the cause of it. It's just that we were kind of there, and it's just kind of things. I wasn't pastoring of these churches. I was a youth pastor in my first church and an associate pastor in the second. But there's some things that kind of went on in the church before we got there, and we got in the middle of it, and we stayed and faithful. But you know what? I was telling my friend Kevin, I look back, those experiences that I went through there, I honestly believe prepared me to be the pastor of Fountain City Baptist Church today. I could not be the pastor of Fountain City Baptist Church, I don't believe, had I not been through some experiences that I've been through in the early part of my ministry. Now, would I like to go back and redo it? Not at all. I wouldn't want to go through that again at all. But it definitely, as I've gotten older, and I came here as a 27-year-old young man. And what I went through in the early days of starting out, I thought, this is not what's supposed to be part of ministry. And some of the things that I saw taking place, I thought, this shouldn't happen. And so God, I feel like, has hopefully through that, learning through the experiences, that has made me a better pastor or preacher in some ways because of past experiences. You know, we all go through that, whether it be in ministry or whatever we face in life. And David was no different here. He was a man after God's own heart, but God was preparing David for greater giants that he was going to have to face in life, much like us. The third point I want to make this morning, David was strengthened by the Word of God. Look in verse 45. Verse 45 says, in 1 Samuel 17, it says that, "Then said David to the Philistine," notice what he said to the Philistine. He says, "Thou camest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I came to thee in the name of the Lord." You think the giant was intimidated by that at all? What did David? Now, David didn't have all the attire on. David didn't dress up with all the pretty brass and the spear and all. No, David says, I come in the name of the Lord. You know what he was demonstrating? That we all have to demonstrate when we face the giants in our life? That great courage. Where does that come from? He says, I came to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. Now, Goliath came out to battle in his own name. David came to battle in the name of the Lord of hosts. Look in verse 46. David went on to say, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. And I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give thee the carcasses of the host of the Philistines, that is the dead bodies, this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Great courage David demonstrated. David was strengthened by the word of God. Notice, where do you suppose that David got this confidence? He's just a young shepherd boy. Where do you suppose he got this confidence to stand up against this giant? Well, I believe maybe it was one day on the hillside somewhere in that open field as a shepherd boy that David, while caring for the sheep, he spent plenty of time alone with God, meditated upon God's Word. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 97 and 98, the Bible says, oh, David says, oh, how I love thy law. It is the meditation all the day. Thou, through the commandments, hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. So David's statement to Goliath was not one of self-pride, but confidence in the promises of God. David spent time meditating on God's word. You know, he claimed victory in the name of God. And listen, church, you know, you say, well, where did he get that confidence? The same way that we can get it. And that is the word of God. But sadly, some people won't open the word of God until Sunday comes around the next week. I'm going to tell you what, if you're living your life in that way, then you're setting yourself up for defeat. Now, I say that not to try to preach down at you or sound like I'm scolding or whatever, but we all have to get into God's Word daily because the giants are coming. And what gives us the confidence to say, hey, I can overcome that? This morning, I was able to share some passages of Scripture with my brother and his wife over the phone. You know why you do that, preacher? Not to preach to them, but to know that God's given us some words in the Word of God that can give us confidence and strength when we're going through some difficulties. You know, I often do that with us as a pastor to share, because I go by the bedside. I was by Miss Carol Simmons' bedside recently, and I shared some Scripture with her, you know, back when she was in the hospital a few weeks ago, and hoping to give her, it gave me more confidence, I feel like, than it did her, just to hear some of these words. And you know, the Word of God gives us that confidence that we need, doesn't it? That's why we need to get in. And you say, well, preacher, I can't read very well. You know what? Miss Lillian, what do you have at your house? You got a Bible desk, you flip that thing on, and you hear the narrator speaking the Word of God. Does it do anything for you? Amen. You know, Miss Lillian, bless her heart, she's losing a little bit of her eyesight. That's a giant. But thank God she's not going to let that defeat her. Thank God for modern technology. Miss Carol Simmons, I was telling you about, I dropped her off the Bible on cassette the other day. Jerry Falwell had narrated the New Testament and Psalms and Proverbs. She called her family together last week at 3 o'clock and said, we're having a Bible study at my home. She gathered them all around the bed. Matter of fact, when I was up here preaching at 5 o'clock last Sunday, I got a phone call. I didn't get to take it. But they were trying to FaceTime me. You know what that is. They're on the phone. They want you to see what's going on, you know. And so they were having a little Bible study around her bedside. You know, the Word of God brings us confidence, doesn't it?
It gives us the strength because we're faced with enemies. And David, what gave him the confidence wasn't because David was this muscular guy that, you know, wore the armor. He didn't need any of that. What gave him the courage, the confidence to face the giant in his life was the Word of God. The answer to our perplexities is found in the Word of God. How many of us are unable to live the Christian life simply because we don't know enough of the Bible? And sadly, there's a lot. There's a lot of Christians that are defeated in their Christian life because they don't know what God's already told us to how to prepare for that next giant that's going to come in your life. I believe that's why Paul instructed Timothy. He said to study the Word of God. It is the Word that will tell us what is not right. The Word of God will tell us of how to get right, and it'll tell us how to keep it right. So Paul said to Timothy to study the law, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that what? Needeth not to be ashamed. Oh, listen, we cannot stand on the promises of God if we don't know what they are. Listen, God's given us many promises in His Word, but we've got to know what they are. Don't expect the preacher to give them to you every Sunday, because you know what? I'm not able to give them to you every week. You see, David was strengthened by the Word of God. Then the last point. David, he saw a great victory because he ventured something big for God. David saw a great victory because he ventured something big for God. Look in verse 48 with me. And it came to pass when the Philistines arose and they came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted, that is, he quickly ran toward the army to meet the Philistines. Now, that's just the opposite of the Saul and the Israelites, right? They were standing back, scared to death. But boy, David was excited. I get to go kill this old guy. I get to defeat this giant. You know, and how are you going to do it? With the courage of the Lord. So David saw a great victory coming at him. Listen, it's just like anything we face in life. You ever face something you know, hey, listen, this is going to turn out all right because God's on my side. You know, it's bad right now, but I've got God on my side. And David looked in faith. Now, he hadn't killed the giant yet, but he says, bring it on, kind of the attitude. Not with arrogance, not with pride in himself, but he knew that this giant is a dead man because he's born with the courage of God. And you see, David had experienced a great victory because he ventured something big for God. Let me say this. Don't allow the giants of life to intimidate you. We shouldn't. I mean, we hear on the news that Christians need to kind of like sit back and not say anything about God or whatever. Listen, a lot of that's intimidation we face today as believers. Those are giants that we're facing within our country today. Listen, they shouldn't intimidate us. Saul and the rest of the army, boy, they were intimidated by the size of Goliath. That kept them from even trying to battle with the giant. What do you suppose was discussed in the camp of the Israelites? Well, we can't battle this guy. He's too big for us. So if they'd sat back and done nothing, if old David hadn't stood up, what happened? Oh, they would have come in and wiped out Israel. Too often when we don't know where to go, we wind up not going anywhere, don't we? We don't know what to do. We don't know where to go. We just kind of stay in we kind of get in our comfort zone. And we just don't do nothing. I'm just not going to do anything. If not careful, you're going to find yourself in a defeated place. God never intended for us to be satisfied with where we are and to stop moving forward. So what does that mean? We've got to catch a vision. We've got to catch a vision for what God can do through us. Because God's the one that empowers us. And let me say this. We've got a lot of older folks here. And when I say older, I don't mean you're old and washed up. Because you're not. But it bothers me sometimes when older people think they can't do anything for God. And I don't mean that to sound mean-spirited or angry, but because you sometimes as we get older, yes, physically we're not able to do some things that we used to do. But don't let the devil or don't let that giant intimidate you to feel like you're of no use to God anymore. Some of the sweetest people that we have in our church are our elderly. Matter of fact, I'm going to say this, and I may offend some of our younger people. If it were not for the older crowd in this church, we might as well lock the doors and go home. Because it's the older generation that is really keeping our churches going for God today. And I'm not to say to put down the younger generation at all, because we need to be motivated as the older crowd is doing to teach our younger generation. But I get more energy sometimes, maybe because I'm getting older myself, but I get more energy and encouragement sometimes just hanging out sometimes with the older generation. And so that's why young people, those of you that are young, find you some older person you can befriend and hang out with. Somebody that can teach you some things in life or help you and listen to them. And I say that because we can all learn from one another. And so whether you're young or older, don't think you don't have a place in service for God. You do. We all have a place in ministry for the Lord. Yes, sometimes we may be losing our energy, physically, whatever. But boy, don't let it be said that God's finished with you, because none of us are finished until we draw our last breath. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath, what? Praise the Lord. Listen, we've got to continue on. We have to continue on by attempting to do big things for God. We really do. We need to move forward in reaching our community for Christ. We need to move forward in every area of our ministry. How can we do that? Only in the power of God. Psalms 127, David says, except the Lord build the house. Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. As I already read earlier, Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So how can we face the giants that are before us? Well, God has given us an example. Number one, we need to be strengthened by the Spirit of God. Number two, we need to be strengthened by past experiences. Number three, we need to be strengthened by the Word of God. And number three, we need to know that, hey, we need to be looking for those victories. There's opportunities for victories by venturing out. It's not time to close the doors and say, I'm finished. But Lord, God's got something big for us. It starts with salvation. That's where it starts. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior today, you need to give your heart to Jesus. That's where it starts. And it continues with a day-by-day walk with God and a total reliance upon God to empower and enable us to live life as He's ordained us to live. Giants are going to come, but we overcome the giants in the power of the Lord. How do we do that? Jeremiah 33:3, I close with. God says, call unto me. Call unto me. And I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. When's the last time you called on the Lord? When's the last time you asked God to help you to face this giant with His power? Because some of you are faced with some giants. Some of you may just need to come to the altar this morning and lay that before God and give it to God. Rather continue to try to defeat that giant in the flesh, but give it to the Lord. If there's need for salvation this morning, and there may be somebody here that don't know the Lord, isn't it great to be a child of God? And without knowing Jesus as Savior, we couldn't face the giants that we face. If you don't know the Lord today, would you give us an opportunity to show you from God's Word how you can be saved? Let's all stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe your need today is baptism, church membership, whatever God's laid on your heart. Christians are praying as we go in this invitation time, but let's seek God's direction as we give this invitation over to Him.